Amen. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going back to the book of Acts tonight. Glory to God. The title of the message tonight is New Wine Continued. Hallelujah. New Wine Continued. We've seen how Jesus declared over his disciples. He said, if you just wait there in Jerusalem, you will be endued. You will be clothed with power from on high. And when that happens, you will then be witnesses to me. You will be doing witnessing for me. You will be witnesses to me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It says that the Spirit of the Lord suddenly came as a mighty rushing wind. It says tongues of fire sat upon each of those who were gathered, the 120 who were gathered there in the upper room, in faith, believing, waiting for the promise of the Father. Glory to God. It says that they all began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. It says that they poured out onto the street. Glory to God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit didn't just come arbitrarily on the streets of Jerusalem. That's a wonky prayer. People that ever pray that prayer need to go back to the Word and start praying what the Word says. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came upon the 120. Amen. God doesn't miss and hit the wall. Amen. He came upon those, and because God never does anything in the earth except he does it through a man or a woman. You need to understand that. God never does anything. He always looks for a man or for a woman. It says his eye searches the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. Something was happening in the upper room in Jerusalem. Their hearts were being turned completely and totally towards the one who had promised to come through on their behalf. Hallelujah. And he came. Amen. And he did not come on the streets. He came on the people. And then the people took him to the streets. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says some mocking. Some of them said, what is this that we see? And others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Glory to God. And that new wine must continue. Hallelujah. Glory. We looked at that on Sunday evening. But in Acts chapter 2:42, it says this. It says that those who were converted at that time, those who were born again at that time, those who were added to the church at that time, it says, that, in fact, verse 41, it says, those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Man, that's multiplication. That's not addition, that's multiplication, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching, say teaching, and fellowship in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And it says, then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and so on. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? All who believed were together. Amen. When did the Holy Spirit come? When they were all together. And it says they knew they had to continue together. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church is a new unity in the church. Not the unity that we try and manufacture by trying to bring everything down to the lowest common denominator so we don't upset or offend anybody. The Holy Spirit is the only agent who can truly bring unity in the church. Amen. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Anything else will fall so far short, it won't last. It can't last. Only what God does lasts. Amen. Amen. Only that which is based and founded upon His Word endures. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Acts 2:42 it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. So we know the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon the church, but they still haven't. But they didn't discard the word. They didn't discard the teaching. Amen. These disciples, these first apostles, they were taught by Jesus. Amen. Who knows that when he was teaching them, sometimes there was other people around, and they didn't understand. And Jesus said, it's not for them to understand right now. I speak in parables, so they don't understand. And then later on he would sit down the disciples and he would teach them the principles of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He would explain these things to them privately. And then later on the Holy Spirit is added to that. And out of the teaching, God's just been stirring in my heart the last while, just the distinction between teaching and preaching. Because over and over again in the Gospels it says that Jesus went around teaching and preaching. In fact, I think maybe it's in Matthew chapter 9, there's one example of that. Hope I'm right. There you go. In verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself right now, but let me just say this. The teaching is for the church, but preaching and healing are for outside of the church. Amen. And Jesus would teach the disciples, and now when the Holy Spirit came upon them, then they moved beyond that to preaching and healing. As soon as the Holy Spirit came upon them, the teaching that had been imparted to them, that which had been built into them, when the Holy Spirit hit that, it just, boom, it took off. And the teaching manifested in preaching and healing. They didn't just jump out straight out on the street. I mean, read Peter's first sermon. It's pretty basic. It's pretty straightforward. He's not bringing the principles of the kingdom in that first sermon. The people weren't born again listening to the principles of the kingdom. They were born again under anointed, simple, straightforward, to the point, preaching and healing. Glory to God. Amen. We'll see that in a moment in Acts chapter 3. Very quickly, the church moves forward. And we soon discover that the ministry of Jesus is alive and well. That Jesus might have gone back to the right hand of the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit like he said he would, and the work that he began has continued without skipping a beat. It's of the same class, it's of the same quality. Amen. It's not diminished at all in quality, it's the same quality and the same quantity. Glory to God. Amen. That's always the way God intended it to be. Blessed be the name. We need to get back to that, and we'll look at that in a moment. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, just in the last few days, well, the last week or so, I've been remembering a prophecy that Smith Wigglesworth gave in 1947. Now, mind you, that was 1947, okay? Think, in our context, what that means. That was 2 years before the Lewis Revival broke out. If when you listen to this prophecy, you begin to realize just maybe what God was trying to do at that time, and yet it failed because the people were unwilling or did not know how to carry it beyond where they went with it. So listen to this prophecy. This is 1947, Smith Wigglesworth. He said, during the next few decades, now that comes right down to us right now, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. He said this in 1947, and church history over the last 60 years bears this out. So that's why I'm bringing it, because it's a prophecy that's been fulfilled. I'm not going back to something that you know, it's just out there somewhere. No, I'm just bringing something that we can see has been fulfilled, but there's an extra dimension to it that I believe is being fulfilled. He said, during the next few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first move, see, in Great Britain. The first move will affect, we always hear about God moving everywhere else, don't we? He said, the first move will affect every church that is open to receive it and will be characterized by a restoration of the baptism and gifts of the Holy Spirit. We saw that happen. The second move of the Holy Spirit will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. Now, we fit into that category. Amen? And it said, in the duration of these moves, the people who are involved will say, this is a great revival. But the Lord says, no, neither of these is the great revival, but both of them are steps towards it. When the new church phase is on the wane, there will be evidence in the churches that has not been seen before. A coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores, even the Wesleyan and Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the United Kingdom. And this is where it dovetails with other prophetic words that people have been standing and believing for many, many years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the United Kingdom to mainland Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And God was just stirring me again, reminding me again why he's spoken to us here as a people, that he's not been building a ministry in us, but a message. And out of the message, the ministry will come. As I said before, teaching is for the church. Preaching and healing is for outside the church. But the first thing Jesus did with his disciples was he taught them. He taught them. He was diligent in teaching them and placing principles within them that would be the foundation for the church that was about to be birthed. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, and from that teaching, the flow of the preaching and the healing, The ministry of the kingdom. The message of the kingdom produces the ministry of the kingdom. Amen. And so in Acts chapter 3, we'll come back to that in a minute, but in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Something's happened here, guys. Come on, something's happened here. There's a new authority has come upon these men. There's a restoration of dominion. There's a restoration of that spirit that you must have if you're going to take the land, if you're going to take back what the enemy has stolen, if you're going to restore that which the enemy has sought to destroy. Come on. He says, look at us. I mean, you can take 100 messages from that. I mean, you could be gross. You could be saying, what an insult. I mean, look at us. We're not lying there lame. Look at us. We're not shaking our beggar's pot. Look at us. Nobody had to carry us down here today. We're walking all on our own. You could have taken all of these things from that statement. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive all. He's ever got from him a couple of wee pennies in his pot. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. There's a whole lot in that statement. Expecting to receive something. Did you come here tonight expecting to receive something? Or did you just come because that's what you're supposed to do in a Wednesday night? Because I'll guarantee you, if you came expecting to receive something, that you won't leave disappointed. I'll guarantee you. I know that happens every time you come expecting, you will leave with something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have... See, something's stirring in these guys. Something of the same compassion that motivated Jesus. The same compassion that caused Jesus to be unable to pass by the broken and the hurting, the disenfranchised and the rejected. Unable to pass them by without being moved with a level of compassion that caused him to do something about their condition and their predicament. Hallelujah. Begin to see that the Word and the Spirit have come together and the Jesus ministry is continuing. See, new wine continuing. Salvation, healing, and deliverance is on the menu. Still, it's not off. Amen. Oh, Jesus is going well. We've still got salvation, but we've run out of healing and deliverance. It's off the menu now. Give us a break. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, see, this prophetic word, I've heard it many times. I've heard people refer to this word in the Spirit. And, you know, I've heard people say, I want to tell you, this word, that prophetic word I believe is speaking about, and I'll try and back that up a little bit in a moment. But I believe it's not talking about the word. It's not talking about Reformed theology. Get that straight. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about Methodism. It's not talking about Baptist theology. It's not talking about any of these traditional, historical, theological systems. It's not talking about that. See, that's what the charismatic and a lot of the old time Pentecostal and the new charismatic churches were formed out of, these places of Reformed theology, Methodism, Baptist theology, etc. And they took their theology with them, and when the Holy Spirit came, they tried to get the Holy Spirit to work with their theology. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight? But it always falls short because they don't really work together. Turn to Romans chapter 10. I've had this in my spirit now for at least 2 or 3 years. Hallelujah. There's always a tiny release with God's put in your spirit, isn't there? Hallelujah. Paul says this, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Say the word of faith. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, that this is a basic fundamental truth that is the only truth that can dovetail with the Holy Spirit and bring forth the kingdom of God in our lives, the manifestation of God's kingdom. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that word, they're saved, doesn't just mean a ticket in your back pocket stamped heaven. That word there includes physical healing, includes deliverance from demons or any other manifestation of spiritual oppression. It means prosperity. It means all of these things. It means God's provision in abundance. It's all of these things. It's salvation in spirit, soul, and body. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a heart-mouth connection that must be there. You must speak out what you want or you will never have it. That's what the Word of God teaches. Right from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to Revelation, the end of the book of Revelation. That you will have what you say, but you will not have what you refuse to say. The life and death are in the power of the tongue. Come on. That's as strong it gets. That's as strong it is. That's the reality. As a man thinks in his heart, that's who he is. See, his thoughts will always be expressed in his words. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You need to get a hold of that somewhere. Come on, down there deep in the inside. It says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And if you believe, you'll speak. He said, I believe, therefore I spoke. Hallelujah. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich. See, he's rich. God's not poor. Like Joe prayed at the beginning of this meeting, he's not, the kingdom of God is not in recession. He is rich to all who call upon him. And I say rich, and immediately you start thinking money. Well, that's a part of it. But it's nothing to do with all of it. Come on. He's rich. Come on. God's just rich in everything. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in silver and gold. He's rich in cattle and sheep and everything else. He owns this place. Come on, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that's just a wee blob in the middle of the galaxies. Is God rich or is he rich? We think if we could get our grubby hands on a tiny little portion of the riches of this world, we think we'd have cracked it. Well, it's just a little, not even a grain of sand in comparison to the riches that it is. And he said, but he doesn't keep it to himself. That's not his heart. That's not his nature. That's not his character. He's rich to all who call upon him. For whoever, say whoever. You know that includes me and you, don't you? You glad for that? Are you gladder than you look? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, delivered, prospered, on and on and on. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You catching this? Teaching is for the church. Preaching is for outside of the church. Preaching and healing. And you bait your hook. There's no point in going fishing with a bare hook. It works in some certain occasions, maybe with hungry mackerel and if you hit the right place at the right time. But generally speaking, you ain't going to get nothing on, you're not going to catch in with an empty hook. You bait your hook. Healing is a bait on the hook. People's needs, the supply of people's needs, whatever these needs are, is the bait on the hook. Jesus didn't walk down the road one day or walk down by the Sea of Galilee one day and see a couple of guys working their nets and say, excuse me, guys, if you've got a couple of hours, I'd like to sit you down and explain to you the principles of the kingdom of God. Did he? He said, follow me. Now, there's something on that hook. I don't know what it was. There was something supernatural on that hook that got their attention. That caused them to leave everything behind and follow him. Amen? He had something. And he was giving it away. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? This is the kind of preacher he sends, okay? Not everybody who was out there preaching was sent. Some of them just went. And they used the totally wrong bait to try and catch the fish. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings. Say glad tidings. of good things. I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing a lot of preaching that had nothing to do with glad tidings of good things. To be honest, to be perfectly frank, it was all bad news. It was designed to light, stick a Bunsen burner under your bahookie, and come on. It was, come on, it was one of the end of a smoke machine blowing in across the pulpit or something, you know what I'm saying? With sulfur. Like just to set the atmosphere. You see, and some of you are starting to look at me because you're programmed a different way. You can't believe that what you've been listening all your life isn't better. Come on. Come on, I'll offend you tonight unless you're willing to change. There has to be change. Come on, somebody admit that what we've been doing up to this point hasn't been working all that well. What the church has been doing for the last couple of thousand years hasn't been all that effective since the first couple of hundred things started to tail off when healing and deliverance went off the menu. And prosperity got lost somewhere out there in the ether somewhere. And it's still a swear word and a curse word to 90% of the church. Something somewhere has gone way off. Way off, way off. It was time to bring it home. When the Word and the Spirit come together, the Word of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what needs to come. God just stirred out of my heart a couple of years ago. I thought, thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about a movement. I'm talking about the Word of faith, Paul says, that we preach. Now, there may be a movement that people call the Word of faith out of, or some people refuse to even call them Word of faith. They call them Word dash faith, and then they call them the descendants of the metaphysical cults and all kinds of bahoni, baluki, baloney, bahuki, baloney, whatever it calls. Where did you get baloney from your bahuki? I don't know. I know. First time I went to America, someone said, "Do you like a baloney sandwich?" I said, "After you eat that, you start talking it." It was really quite tasty, actually. Cheese and baloney, man, it was awesome. It was. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Preaching and healing. Out of the message, the ministry comes. The Word and the Spirit together equal a Jesus ministry. Amen. I believe that, see, Wigglesworth, who brought forth that prophecy, I believe he himself was a prototype. Who knows he was a misfit in his own generation? Amen. I've got some quotes from him tonight just to stir you a little bit. You might recognize some of the concepts, because we kind of talk this way a little bit ourselves around here. Fear looks, faith jumps. Faith never fails to obtain its object. So let this do a damage to some of your what you believe is butter. Faith never fails to obtain its object. If I leave you as I found you, I am not God's channel. I am not here to entertain you, but to get you to the place where you can laugh at the impossible. Here's another one. If it is in the Bible, it is so. It's not even to be prayed about. Listen to me. It's to be received and acted upon. Inactivity is a robber which steals blessings. Increase comes by action, by using what we have and what we know. Your life must be one of going on from faith to faith. Here's another one. Some people like to read their Bible in the Hebrew. Some like to read it in the Greek. I like to read it in the Holy Spirit. Great faith is the product of great fights. You will have to voice many things in order to bring them into being. Well, so that didn't originate in Tulsa, Oklahoma, after all. Oops, a daisy. If you are in the same place today as you were yesterday, you are a backslider. To the man of faith, there is nothing that is not an opportunity. Shout, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and you will have the best time on earth. Whisper it, and you won't. Oh! Come on! Get that shout. See, you've had the shout kicked out of you. Amen? Come on, get some of your shout back. Let me get a few people, but I'll tell you, you're scared of devil. If they've got devils in them, they're scared. Come on. Listen to what he says. I don't ever ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I jump out of bed. I dance before the Lord for at least 10 to 12 minutes. high-speed dancing. I jump up and down and run around my room telling God how great he is, how wonderful he is, how glad I am to be associated with him and to be his child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, everyone in this place who is saved, that's talking to us right now here, has a million times more than they know. That's why we need the knowledge. That's why we need the wisdom. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. Because God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because of what they don't know. Listen to what he says. Is salvation and healing for all? It is for all who will press in and get their portion. The word can drive every disease from your body. It is your portion in Christ, him who is our bread, our health, our all in all. Hallelujah. The word and the spirit come together. With all of the tradition removed. With all of the hocus pocus removed. All of the phony baloney removed. He says, dare you, spurn this glorious gospel of God for spirit, soul, and body. This gospel that brings liberty. This gospel that brings souls out of bondage. This gospel that brings perfect health to the body. This gospel of entire salvation. Dare you spurn this glorious gospel. Oh, well, brother, no, we don't want to be too extreme. Well, stay sick then. Stay poor. Smith Wigglesworth had a very prosperous plumbing business. And when he believed that God was calling him to leave that business and step out into full-time ministry and to travel around and to bring this gospel, this is what he said. This is the boldness of faith that this man, this is the audacity that this man had, a man who loved God with all of his heart and the rest too. He said, okay, God, you want me to leave the plumbing? The first time one of my children has a hole in his shoe or a tear in his trousers, I go back to the plumbing. Guess what? Never did ever have to go back to the plumbing. That's called prosperity. That's called seeking first the kingdom of God and all of these things being added to you. He says, if you leave people as you found them, God is not speaking by you. If you are not making people mad or glad, you might be mad tonight, you might be glad. There's something amiss with your ministry. If there's not a war on, it's a bad job for you. Hallelujah. If you're not caught in the middle of it. He says, if the Spirit does not move me, I move the Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, I am not moved by what I see or feel, but by what I believe. He said, no wavering. This is the principle. He who believes is definite. A definite faith brings a definite experience and a definite utterance. No ifs, buts, and maybes around these, around believers. Heard enough? You heard enough? That's all I've got. Plenty more where that came from. That's all I've got for you right now. Glory to God. Of quotes from. But does all that sound familiar to you? No wonder God used such a man to bring such a prophetic word for the church. The church in the time that we are now living in. It's not just adding the Holy Spirit to more Reformed theology or any other kind of theology that's missing the mark. It's the word, the word, the word, and the Spirit coming together. The word of faith, Paul said, that we preach. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit coming together. Boom. You don't just have teaching, then you have teaching in the church that results in preaching and healing and deliverance out there in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The word and the Spirit together is what result in a Jesus ministry. Now, you know, I was thinking about it today, you know, about, you know, in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I thought, you know, we've narrowed that right down and said, well, that's the devil. I began to think about it over the last week or so, and I thought, that's a lot more than the devil. That's anything. Say anything. That's anything or anyone. Say anyone. That's anything or anyone that hinders or prevents the life. The life that he came that we might enjoy. Anything that prevents us enjoying that life in all of its fullness is a thief. In Colossians it talks about philosophy and all of these things and empty deceit and all of these, the traditions of men. That these things can rob you of what God has for you. It's much more than the devil. You say, well, the devil's behind all that. We give him too much credit sometimes. Anything or anyone is the thief. Second is the thief. Hello? Poverty is the thief. And we must... Anyway, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go back there again. Hallelujah. What happens here in Acts chapter 3? This is the beginning. The church is broken loose. And it's immediately obvious to everyone that the Jesus ministry is alive and well. Said it's been multiplied. It's not been diminished, it's been multiplied. Hallelujah. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Was he mad? No, he was glad. It says, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. One of the wee glasses in the bus already said, I don't believe in God. I said, oh, you don't? No, I don't believe in God. Today she's up in the back of the bus saying, hallelujah. I said, you know what hallelujah means? No. I said, it means praise the Lord. So you've just been praising God. I said, I don't even believe him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. He was glad. But not everybody was glad. Verses, then you discover the religious leaders were mad. Because they thought this Jesus business was over. And it's come back to bite their bum. Hallelujah. Amen. With a vengeance. Glory to God. Just when you thought the midges were over, the clegs come out. Come on. Hallelujah. Who knows? See, the disciples had a test drive before. Remember, before Jesus had gone to the cross, they'd had a test drive. You know, but that, I mean, Ali, what's your favorite car? Lamborghini or something like that? I mean, well, this is like, Ali, this is like you having a test drive of a Lamborghini that lasts like 15 minutes and thinking, wow, that was awesome. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. And you probably wouldn't, but that's the difference between what they did when they had their little test drive and now. It's the same as somebody handing you the keys of that Lamborghini and saying, this is yours. Remember we looked at it a few nights ago? That when Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. As I said, when my father had that saying, it's better felt than tell. And it's like, it's better because it's always better to do something yourself than just to watch somebody else doing it. And so when Jesus sent them out and gave them authority over sickness and over disease and over demons, and of course they all come back shouting and jumping, saying, wow, that was amazing, you know. But that's like Ali coming back from test driving his Lambo, you know. And someone saying, by the way, here's the keys, it's yours. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I'm giving you the keys. It's not a test drive, guys, anymore. I'm giving you the keys. Hallelujah. Come on. Is that exciting? Because he's saying that to us tonight. He said, I'm not sending you out for a test drive. I've given you the keys. Who knows, for a long time around here we've been saying, making this statement, the glorious year. We put that up. Hallelujah. Say the glorious year. Glorious. I'm not sure everyone has caught what that means. But I want you to know tonight, whatever your favourite car is, I want to tell you. If it's a Ferrari, well, I want to tell you tonight, you've got your very own Ferrari. So Ferrari, so goody. Or a Mercedes A-Class, is it? Think bigger, sister. But anyway, that's the smallest Mercedes you can get. You know what I'm saying? Well, you've got your own brand new one now. The glory is here. This is a, I read this to you before, but this is a, remember that word from Chris McDonald via email? This is, I didn't realize it until today. This was a whole year ago. On the 11th of May, 2009. Hello, Donnie. I almost emailed this to you a fortnight ago, but I think it was God that was holding me back because the last week or so, he's made me check and double check and triple check that I'm only writing down what he actually said, not any extra bits or bits to tidy it up. And then she says, a while ago I was praying about what I've come to know as the Lewis Giants, that is religion and witchcraft. God showed me a picture of Samson in the temple standing between the two central pillars which supported it, massive stone pillars supporting the whole structure of the temple, and Samson had been brought to stand between them as an object of ridicule paraded for their amusement. As I looked at this, God showed me that witchcraft and religion are these two pillars held together with a cement of tradition, darkness, self-righteousness, and judgmentalism, giving support to a whole ungodly structure over the island. He said that it is only as the Holy Spirit is raised up in the midst of this that these pillars will come down. And then in brackets it says, and yet, like Samson, we'll be open to ridicule. And others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Say, new wine continuing. All well and good, she said, so far. All well and good so far. But then a couple of Sundays ago, while you were preaching, you reminded me of this with some force. So much so that I think I missed most of the preach because of it. But the whole point was that as you were preaching, I sensed these pillars creaking and beginning to shift, hairline cracks appearing. And it wasn't something that God was saying was going to happen in the future. It is something that is taking place spiritually right now. These things really are beginning to weaken their hold, really are beginning to twitch and wobble just slightly. And what we're not seeing with our eyes, we've got to see spiritually and believe and pray, because it really, really is happening right now. And the more we take hold of it and declare it and what it and declare it, the weaker these pillars become. Everything we do in the spirit loosens a bit more cement. God bless. Chris. Amen. Out of the message, the ministry will come. Now, I went to Tain in October. I was speaking at a men's conference and on the mainland, and on my way on the Sunday morning, I drove up to Tain. Mary was away, and there was just the folks in the church there, none of them who know me very well. And I just sat in on their service that morning, and at the end, those people were called out for prayer, and then they asked me, can we pray for you? And I went forward. I thought, well, I ain't going to knock back an opportunity to be prayed for. So, and there was a lady there who's not part of the church, but who comes back and forth from down south somewhere, in England somewhere, and she said, God has shown me a picture, and she began to speak, exactly these words. And it just so happens, I had that email in my Bible, and after she'd finished, I said, you need to hear this. I took it out and I read it. I said, what you've said is virtually word for word. So that was prophetically confirmed. That wasn't just something off the top of someone's head. I like it when God always confirms his word through at least two witnesses. Come on. Hallelujah. That word was confirmed through people who are not even connected remotely. Amen. Come on, somebody wake up. You've got to hear when God is speaking, God is speaking. Smith Wigglesworth brought that word back 1947. And it's happening now. And we need to tune in. We need to catch up with this. Come on. We need to know we're walking in it. We're here. We're doing it. We've been doing it. We're on God's timetable. We've been speaking that now. God's time is now. Come on, now is the time. For the last few years, we've been just coming in closer and closer into that. Even in the last few weeks, I'm thinking, God, I'm 51 years of age. What have I done in my life? Absolutely nothing. And I could zone in on that and look at all the things that I can't see happening. But I can't go there because I remember Caleb, who was 85. Now, for 40 years, he could have gone, God, look at the state of this. Here I am, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. Nothing's happening. Wandering about with a bunch of losers, all dropping dead all around me. But he didn't know. He kept his eye on the prize. So that when he's 85 years old, he says, hey, God, hey, Joshua, come on, mountain. Amen. So it doesn't matter if you're 85, 95, 105, glory to God. What God said will come to pass if you keep your eye on the goal. Amen. Now, I received this email from Chris McDonald on Mondays. This is the 17th of May, 2010. So it's almost a year between. It's hard to believe. Time is just accelerating, folks. We need to get a hold of this. Hi, Donnie. Had to email this because it's got me really excited. Exclamation mark. I'm just sky high after yesterday morning. Totally amazing. As I was leaving, God showed me a picture of the Icelandic volcano. It could have been one of the pictures we see over and over again on the news. Thick, dense clouds of ash, like mega storm clouds rolling across the landscape. Only what I saw yesterday wasn't ash. It was golden clouds, like God's glory, and it was filling Father's house. See, the glory is here. I left to go home, and when I got to the car, realized I had forgotten something. As I rounded the corner on my way back to Father's house, I saw this golden cloud billowing out of the door and along the street. It was just pouring out the doors like volcanic eruptions. Then she said, when you were preaching last night, Sunday night, I was seeing it again, and when you mentioned disruption, I almost jumped out of my seat. If there's one word that's been associated with the ash over and over again, it's disruption. Then God reminded me of a verse in 1 Kings where the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud and the priests couldn't perform their service because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. She finishes with exciting in block capitals with about 8 or 9 exclamation marks. Chris, now you need to see the glory is here. You see, 2 or 3 weeks before that, I received an email from Alan Robertson in South Carolina, and the header on his email was, is that a cloud of the glory or what? And of course in the email he's speaking about the volcanic ash. So I immediately emailed that back to Chris and said, I got this too. Hallelujah. See, the glory is here. See, out of the messes, God has been diligently seeking to impart this kingdom message to us in all of its fullness. So there's no doubt, no room for doubt, no room for debate, nothing. We don't sit down and argue with people. There's no point in that. There's no time for that anymore. We just bring the message of the kingdom. God wants to save everybody. He wants to heal everybody. And he wants to deliver everybody. And he wants to prosper everybody. He's rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's your need? God's already provided for that need. You can have it. Come on, that's the message. That's what we're out there to preach. To reach a lost and dying, hopeless, pathetic world that God loved so much that he emptied heaven in order to redeem it. Hallelujah. To bait his hook, to bring them home. Come on. That's not Reformed theology. That might not be Baptist theology or Methodism or anything else. But that's Bible. I said, that's Bible. That's the Word of God. And when the Word of God and the Spirit of God. What do you mean the Word of God? Where can you see that? Jesus is when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together. If you wonder what it should look like, just have another look at Jesus. That's why since the beginning of January, we've been in the Gospels over and over and over and over again, just following Jesus, following the plan. Amen. Just so we would be reminded over and over again of what it looks like when the Word and the Spirit come together. It's not condemnation. It's not judgment. It's not a finger up your nose telling you you're going to hell, you're a wicked sinner, unless you get your life sorted immediately. Come on. It's not to do with any of these things. It's reaching out to lost and broken people where they're at and meeting their needs. Bless them. Baiting the hook with healing and deliverance. And come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's what brings them home. It was when the prodigal, it's when he came into his heart that there's more than enough back at my Father's house. There's what back at Father's house? More than enough. Even the servants are fat in Father's house. Whereabouts? Father's house. Come on. Sometimes it's years later you realize why you've even called the building Father's house. The Word and the Spirit coming together. I don't know if you remember, but most of the prophetic words that something happens in the north of Scotland and moves down the south of Scotland and then into England and then across to Europe. I tell you, this is what we're talking about, the Word and the Spirit coming together. These things always begin in the most unlikely places amongst the most unlikely people, the disenfranchised, the loonies, the fringe element. You know what I'm saying? people who are full of new wine, the ones who are mocked and scoffed at. Come on. I tell you, since God had me start to bring this message, it's been mocked, scoffed at, ridiculed. Come on. But I'll tell you, back in the early 1990s, the Lord said to me, He said, I will teach you. He said, I've called you to be an apostle. I didn't even know, I knew what an apostle was, but I knew there was 12 of them, and that was it. It's not a title. It's a ministry. It's just a gift to the church. That's all it is. But if you want to be one, then you better read the job description, because it's maybe not what you think it is. Remember the cloud scurry? The off scourings. Remember the old cloud scurry used to be under the sink, the old scouring cloth that came out when there was serious stuff needing dealt with. Man, if things stunk even before you did the business with it, you know what I'm saying? No matter how many times they boiled it, it still held residual smell, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And that's what it's like to be at the forefront. That's what it's like to be pioneering, and some of you folks know that. Hallelujah. Some people you part a crowd like you did smell like a cloud scurry. Come on. You see, I showered this morning. I know I did. I'm sure I didn't forget the old deodorant. And it's like, hello, come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's because you're at the forefront. God's called you to stand and keep standing and keep declaring and keep proclaiming this word. Because eventually everything has to conform to this word. It must. It must. When God says light must be. I don't know if it took an instant or if it took 1,000 years, but light had to be. Well, brother, we don't believe it. This 6-day creation business, well, that's up to you. But even if it took 1,000,000 years, light had to be, because God said it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And what Wigglesworth prophesied back in 1947, I believe it came from the Spirit of God, and so it must be. Yeah. When God's spoken to us, and spoken to us corporately, and spoken to you guys individually, in your lives, must be. Because God said it, and you know God said it. Down there at base level, there's a witness in your spirit that God said it. And because He said it, it must happen. If you won't move, if you'll be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, keep proclaiming, keep preaching, keep declaring. Out of the message, the ministry will come. The ministry of the Holy Spirit comes to confirm the message with supernatural signs. There will be Holy Ghost disruption. Who knows when the glory shows up, there's always disruption. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. There's always disruption when the Holy Spirit comes. Hallelujah. He always creates havoc. And out of the chaos, He brings forth life. God's plan, God's purpose. These men are full of new wine. Who knows in John Chapter 2, it says that He saved the best until last on the third day of the feast. Who knows that we are entered the third day, folks? A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and we're now very early in the morning of the third day. Hallelujah. The time when Jesus rose again. The time when glory to God, the earth experienced the greatest disruption it ever experienced. I mean, even somebody was reading, I think, from that, I think it might have been Terry actually, but he stopped short a bit when it says the graves opened and some of the saints who had died were walking around Jerusalem. Come on, we're so closeted. We think, oh God, that could never happen. Go back and read what happens. All that stuff about angels, I'm not sure about that. This, once we go through Acts, angels are on the scene all the time. All the way through the Word of God, angels are there. Why? Because they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Sometimes you're aware of them, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you know they're angels, sometimes you don't. Scripture says sometimes you entertain them, even in your own house, unaware that they are angelic visitors. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's time for the church to get reconnected with God and delivered from all of its religious phony baloney. And I just came to me the other day, I thought when Peter stood up, I thought, why do we think he stood up and went, okay guys, here comes the first sermon of the new church. Everybody's back straight, every eye fixed on me now, I'm about to deliver a sermon like you've never heard before. What if he went, stood up and went, wow, whew, man, whew, Well, I tell you something, guys, man. These guys ain't drunk like you suppose. Wow. This is what was prophesied. This is what? This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out, man, my spirit. Woo! Man! Did you feel that? And on my sons and my daughters and these prophets. Whoa, wow, come on. Whoa, this is awesome. Why could it not have been like that? I think it probably was. That's more accurate. Amen? He didn't deliver his carefully prepared three-pointer. I'm not against that. I'm not against teaching or anything else, but glory to God, this was preaching time right now. Because out of the teaching, the preaching was now coming. And 3,000 people were hooked. What must we do to be saved? He said, repent. Repent, you wicked sinners, and spend the next 30 years trying to get your life straightened out, and I'll be watching you. First step out of line, you'll be excommunicated, you bunch of losers. No, he said, and you shall receive the gift. Man, the first thing you get is a gift. You think you expect a slap in the back of the head? Come on. I forgot a bit when I was telling that story about what happened when my uncle died back on Sunday night. I remember because the next morning I'm in there in the living room. I'm sober now and I'm getting counseling from another uncle who's not a Christian. And, you know, and my father, who hadn't been there the night before, walks into the room and I hear him coming in behind me. And the next thing I feel is, and he says, I just heard what happened last night. He never heard the good stuff, see, just heard the bad stuff. Didn't hear the guy Dan didn't go to hell, went to heaven. Didn't hear that, but he just heard that Donnie got drunk and came in and made a mess. Then try to spin us a yarn. Amen. I mean, you'd expect a slap in the back of the head, but you don't, you get a gift. Not just any old gift. Not one of these wee freebies, you know, that made in Hong Kong or somewhere, or China nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for showing up in church today. Here's a wee gift for you. First time you try to use the pen, either it doesn't work at all or it breaks. No, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The most awesome, incredible gift that you could ever receive that totally transforms and changes your life so that it can never be the same again. And guess what? It's not just for you. He said it's for your children. Come on. It's generational. It's inheritance. Holy Ghost disruption. These men are full of new wine, but the best has been saved until last. Do you believe that? Let me just finish with this tonight. New wine must continue. Say, new wine must continue. New wine. I said we must continue to attract that accusation. These people are full of new wine. It's not we receive it as a compliment. We say, I'm so glad you noticed. Just get a little bit closer and I'll fill you up. Has anyone been doing that in the morning? The last few days, before you get out of bed, just open up your mouth and say, Lord, fill me up. If you pour it in, I'll pour it out. Has anybody been doing that? Yeah. Oh, you know it's a difference. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Glory to God. New wine continuing. This Jesus ministry must break loose into the streets. We've got so much teaching in there, but it must come out in preaching and healing. It's time to just get bold enough to reach out and touch folks that are sick around about us and say, look, I want to pray for you. I've got an anointing from God, and I believe that if I lay my hands on you, the Word of God promises that you will recover. Can you receive that? Hallelujah. Come on, if you don't try it, you'll never discover if it works or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody in on this? Come on, put up your hand if you're in on it. Put up two hands if you're really serious. Hallelujah. Is it time or is it time? Say, the glory is here. Glory. Hey, the glory is here right now. Someone saw it the other day. It doesn't mean it's not here because you can't see it right now. You just need your eyes opened like her eyes were open to see that the glory is here. And the glory is pouring out that door. And he's longing for someone just to connect, to reach, to be a connection between him and everything that he has. And we're that connection if we'll just get in line Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your precious people here tonight. I thank you, Lord, it's your heart, your desire, your purpose, your plan. That new wine continues. Lord, that this prophetic word is fulfilled in our day and in our generation. The word and the spirit, the word of faith and the Holy Spirit and all of his power and all of his glory and all of his manifestation of craziness to the world. But bringing your order out of the chaos. Bringing your purpose forth in the earth. Let's say it together tonight. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues all generations. Let me just say here right now, that's the message that we need to carry to the world. That the Lord is good, that his love endures forever, and that his faithfulness continues. You bring that out in your own testimony, and I'll tell you, people will catch, take hold of the bait. Lay hands on the sick. They will recover. Bring forth the kingdom of God. Bring forth the preaching of the message of the kingdom of God. God loves you. That's all you have to say. That's enough. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.